Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined with my co-host, Natalie Bellini. We have a really exciting episode with special guests. We have two of the three sugar queens. We have Edith Miller and Davida Kruger. Jennifer Goldman's not here, but we will have her soon. Don't worry. But why do we have them? Because the Libre Duo just got FDA cleared. If you hadn't heard, that is a dual glucose ketone monitor. We're very excited and we're going to talk all things ketones today. Before we do that, I would love to have our guests introduce themselves and maybe just provide a little bit of background on your experiences. I know you both have done a lot with ketone monitoring and publications. So maybe Davida, I will have you go first.
Oh, thank you so much. So I'm Davida Kruger. I am a certified nurse practitioner. I'm in Detroit, not too far from the two of you. I've actually been working in the world of diabetes for the past 45 years, and the majority of my work, I do clinical practice, clinical research, is in diabetes technology. I've been afforded the opportunity starting about 18 months ago with Eden, where we were on the International Diabetes Advisory Board looking at this whole concept of continuous ketone monitoring. And we do have a publication in the Lancet on it. And additionally, we've been on the American Diabetes Association's advisory board and also Abbott's advisory board. So we've seen it at all its iterations. And I can't be more excited that when we heard yesterday that it's actually FDA approved for people with diabetes.
I love it.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Thank you
Yeah.
for having me.
Eden.
So, Eden Miller, family medicine specialist, but I do diabetology and obesity. So, we do very, very high level intervention for those living with diabetes. I work with the sweet Dr. Miller, my physician husband, at our clinic in Bend, Oregon. So, Davida and I kind of span the country. With us three sugar queens and then Jen in Boston. And as Davida said, we've had the distinct opportunity. What's nice to hear is that there was just a few of us who were on every advisory board. And what I really think provided a lot of continuity because we really wanted to bring ketones to the forefront, have the ketone conversation. You know, many of us listening, we don't talk about ketones that often until they're really bad. And so now we have some really good guidance. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of great tools that are coming out of how to have the ketone conversation. And now we are just going to bring it home with that continuous ketone monitoring. So it's very timely. It's very exciting. I've often felt like the new duo is going to be kind of like going into space where we've never been before. So I think it's going to be a group effort. I mean, this is going to be, let's see what we see and share it because it's a new horizon in diabetes management. And wouldn't it be great if we just really prevented DKA? What a change.
Well, what I would ask too from Diana and Natalie is mark your calendars and let's do this 1 year from now.
Yes.
Because I think the concept, and that's what people are going to get from, I think this special here today is that we know this, but we don't know this, and we're trying to figure it out as we go, and actually putting the device in our hands in the next year or so is really going to give us the best information of what it is, what it isn't, who should wear it, how do we prevent DKA? That's to me, if that's outer space, I'm up for it.
Let go, right?
Yeah, it's very exciting. So let's, Eden, I hear you're an expert on all things regarding the device. So what can you tell us? We do know, we learned it's a 10-day wear, right? It's going to monitor glucose and ketones. What else? What can you tell us about it?
Well, yeah, expert only in so much as it's not quite out there. And so it does continuously monitor ketones. And the first thing I want to say that we have been told based on DaVita and I, our work with the advisory board, is it's exceedingly accurate. Apparently ketones monitoring with this duo is highly accurate. And so I think accuracy is one of those things that we really want to talk about first, because we want to make sure that we know that the data we're getting is good data. The second thing is this is just kind of a late breaking piece because we bring you the very latest. It does report the same as the glucose every minute. It does report every minute. So you're getting a minute by minute glucose, a minute by minute ketone. And I think the other thing I want you to all of us to understand, because DaVita remembers this and y'all remember this, because there was a debate at the ADA about ketone monitoring. Oh, we don't need another alarm. We don't need another thing. And I say, you hope it never goes off. Right. It's not going to be sitting there. It's like a check engine light. Okay. It's like a check engine light. If it goes off, we need to do something. So be mindful of it. It's going to be there in the background monitoring and letting you know if there is something you can do to prevent. It's not just, oh, you're already in DKA. It's a prevention tool.
I love that idea. And I think you're right. I think DKA is a problem until it's a problem. Right. Yeah. And we have people that tend to get into DKA more often due to other medical issues going on, due to their own personal circumstances, due to all kinds of different things. But ultimately, it's like when you go get an EKG, you would like normal sinus rhythm every time you go. You don't want it to be abnormal. You never want the ketone monitor go off. But if it does, and I can get someone to treat those low levels of ketones before they get too high, I've reduced hospitalizations, haven't I?
And death.
Right. I mean, death, right?
Yeah. But I also want to point out is that now in the way we practice is patients get into trouble with ketones or elevated blood glucoses. And the first thing we all say to them is, can you tell me what your ketones are? And 99.9% of the people say, I don't know. I don't have anything at home to test and I can't get to the pharmacy. And those are the individuals when I can't treat them at home. Those are the individuals I have to send to the ER. And again, the cost of what it costs to go to the ER, because I need that information and I can't get it.
Yeah. Well, if you prescribe me some ketone strips to urinate on right now, they're going to go bad as soon as I open them. I've got 30 days, right? Am I going to go get more? I didn't use them. Like you said, I didn't have ketones that time or I didn't check them, right? So I
have the color and they were 2 hour ago ketones.
I'm urinating on a stick, right? Like, which brings back the 50-year-old diabetes in me, right? Like, no, I'm sorry, no. And then the second side of that is the blood ketones are expensive for most people, right? They work. You guys, they work. I can count on one hand the number of people that I see that own them, that know where the thing is, that know where the, and even those strips go bad eventually, right? Even if they're individually wrapped. So what we have is a system to do it that is already broken. That's what we have right now in our armamentarium right now. It's a broken system.
Right. So I'm going to,
that you mentioned, I called it ketone monitoring leveling up with glucose monitoring, because you just said it, Natalie. You remember when we monitor glucose in the urine. That was a long time ago, and we still had ketones stuck in the past. We were still using urine, and now they're leveling up. Now they're going to be simultaneously there. Like we said, the other you're going to use day by day, moment by moment to guide things. But if it goes off, now the next question is, what's your ketone plan if it alarms?
So, sorry.
No, go ahead, Diana. You poor thing. We haven't let you speak.
I'm with a really well-spoken woman. It's hard to get a word in, but that's okay. So I was fortunate to be able to speak to a couple of my medical science liaisons at Abbott. So I want to shout out Jan Richardson and Susanna Robinson. Because I was curious on a lot of the details of what this is going to be. So we know 10 days, right? It is, I was told it's going to go through, you know, the Libre app that we're used to. 1 hour warm up. What is really going to be different is it's measuring the beta hydroxybutyrate, which you guys alluded to. That's what the blood measures. The urine lags behind. So that's why this is a lot better. But if it is low, if it's under 0.6, like fine, it's going to focus on glucose. Right. It gets over 0.6, that's when you're going to have the option to be able to see the trends of what's happening. And there will be a fixed high alert of 3, which is considered urgent high ketones.
Actionable.
The other thing
Right.
So that is exactly, it's actionable. And like you guys said, we hope it doesn't go off. The other thing I'm excited about is insulin pump integration. They have announced they do expect at launch to work with the Beta Bionics iLet and Sequel Twist.
Right.
And then future, hopefully early 2027, working with Omnipod 5, and also plans to work with the Instinct sensor with MiniMed. And now I'll be quiet.
No, I think that's great. But here's the thing. So this is the thing that blows my mind is that, and we spoke about this at a presentation Eden and I did at ADA. So Jen Scher from Yale, who is one of my girl crushes, is a phenomenal pediatric endo. And she did pump interruptions and all kinds of different studies looking at the data. And the thing that was interesting to me is that Eden said that the data follows each other, but it follows each other as a sensor or for a view. However, high blood glucose do not always equate with elevated ketones, and elevated ketones does not always equate. So you have that, there's graphs that show you, here's a person going along with normal glucoses and has very high ketones. That's our SGLT2 inhibitor patient. Yep. Or it could be someone on MDI who has some background, but doesn't, you know, there's a lot of things that could be going on.
Missed a bolus. Started vomiting because they ended up, right, like they're, you know, right.
So again, being able to visually see when the ketones start, and then the individual gets to know who they are, who's a ketone person, who's not a ketone person. I mean, all of these things that we're going to learn, which is why I said we have to revisit this in a year after we've had the opportunity to really put it on people to see how these devices work and what are the things that we have to be aware of. Now, I think we all are, you know, like, okay, the repeater, person on pumps that, you know, you're worried about an occlusion or you're worried about, you know, a problem with the infusion set. That probably is where I might start. My type 2s maybe on a pump who are insulin deficient SGLT2 inhibitors. I'd like to be able to give my patients who have type 1 diabetes off-label SGLT2 inhibitors. But I'm not going to do it without... Right. If I can give them a sensor, I can do it. Our peds patients. I mean, this is like opening a huge surprise box and pulling it out and seeing what we get.
Another gift.
I know. It's going to be, you know, I always say that I probably would have retired 5 years ago, but every time I think about it, we have something fun to do.
Something cool comes along. Right. Exactly.
Yes.
I really do. When you start mentioning all those people, right?
Yeah.
People, even, you know, so we never use an SGLT2 inhibitor with a person with type 1. I can count on one hand because you don't, you just don't know who's going to react different ways, right? We even see it between different brands, right? One brand of SGLT2 causes different, people, right? I can tell you that, you know, so we have that. We have the people who have type 1 in general. We have the people with type 2 that are somehow oddly ketose prone for, we don't understand why some people with type 2 get ketones. Then we've got all these other, you know, my sick patients, my cancer patients that are, you know, post pancreatectomy, my
pregnancy.
Right. So like, what are we doing? Right. You start taking on this. All right. Well, we'll start here and we'll start. And my brain's going, we're not starting anywhere. All of these people should have an opportunity to know where we are, what their ketones are. I don't think it's a little dribble. I think it's a lot.
So I think just by way of way, because Diana and I learned this yesterday, is that it will be released not for Medicare and not for Medicaid.
Of course.
So, right. Like, it's going to be commercial insurances only to start. I think that's an important point. That's not a negative. It's just life.
It's this is how every drug and everything works, though. It's never approved right away for Medicare and Medicaid.
Right. And so, and there will be one place to go that your reps will tell you. I already called Epic in my institution and said, I need you to add this. So I'll be able to send prescriptions. You know, those are the back things that we all have to think about as part of our excitement so that we can make this a reality for people with diabetes as well. And also, I think the four of us on this podcast will be like, yes, 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 send it, send it, send it, send it. And what we need to do is have a comfort level for our colleagues who have not had, you know, as much experience. And one of the things I'm excited about, too, is, and Eden and Diana have been part of this as well, is that there will be handouts, there will be guides, there will be other publications that say, when you look at this, think this. And I think Natalie said it in the beginning, we're going to have a ketone plan. And one of the things we urged when we were doing this is don't just say, oh, you got ketones at 1.2, call your healthcare provider.
Yes.
Right, right. I'm like, please, I don't want all those calls. I mean, I want to be helpful, but I don't want all those calls. So having plans of action have to be, you, if you prescribe it, you want, and we hope you will, we want you to also give the patient, the person with diabetes, a real actionable plan to use.
Yeah, that's such an
important. And you don't want them to feel like it's just alarms and they don't know what to do. The other thing is just even educating those at the emergency room, because they may see somebody who may not be exhibiting typical symptoms of ketosis, and yet their ketones are there. And so don't, you know, industry, all of the advisory boards we've been all on, we're not leaving you hanging out there to dry. There's very specific thing. There's graphics. Remember, there's trend arrows with ketones too.
Yeah.
So you know if they're staying the same, you know if they're going down. And so you don't just sit here and go, what's the next number? Like you're, you know, a ticking time bomb kind of thing. And then I like how you guys said you have the urgent ketones that are actionable, but then you have the middle ground. And I want our colleagues to wonder what's the middle ground? Is your site, you know, for your pump? Are you getting sick? So it's okay to pause and ask the questions, right? That's what brought us to this point. Now you mentioned, Diana, about the pump announcements, just so nobody gets too excited. Yeah. None of the pumps are going to integrate ketones yet. They might display them. They may have pass-throughs. All of them are going to be playing with them because they know what a cool thing this is. But none of the AID systems are going to be able to mitigate with ketones. So just understand that takes time. We're in a observational period to see, because why do some people go into DK and others don't? I just think this is so exciting to go forward now seeing this.
Yeah, it's a good point about the ketone arrows. So there will be arrows. It'll be different than, like, right now CGM has 5 different arrows. If it's going up a little or going up a lot, this will have 3 arrows because ketones just don't rise and fall as quickly as glucose. And then regarding the pumps, so one kind of cool thing is this will allow for 2 Bluetooth connections. So previously, like when you use a Libre sensor, you can only start it and it only pairs with one device. But this would allow a person to actually use the app that it's going to work with along with the pump. So yes, it's not going to change things based on the ketones, but at least like you can use the sensor with the pump and the app.
Go ahead.
I just want to clarify what both Eden and Diana said, is that the pumps won't be able to mitigate the ketones at this time. What, just to clarify, we know that the pumps will mitigate high blood sugars. The problem is we don't know if the pump is struggling more because there are ketones. So while it may not be able to make an extra adjustment yet for those elevated ketones, which would be the mitigation you mentioned, it gives me and the person with diabetes the aha moment that says, okay, now I know why that extra bolus you took that
isn't working as well as it should.
Right. Exactly. Right.
And we're going to have to come up with that, right? Like they're going to have to think about how high does the ketone have to be before it says, this has got to be a failed set, guys, right? we're not giving you any more insulin. It's going to splash, change the pod, change your set. We're done with this attempt, right? Where a little bit of ketones can be that I skip breakfast and lunch most days and I get ketotic by 3 o'clock, but barely ketotic. And then I have my first big snack and then I have a snack and then I am, right? Like whatever my eating pattern is, or I'm fasting for gluten, you know, whatever, for surgery the next day, right? There are things that we've going to have to learn in the next year, and that the pump companies are all going to have to learn of when they set their algorithm to what, how are we going to do this? And legally, what place do you recommend what? It's a legal thing too, because you can't say, don't change your set. And someone says, well, I was in full blown DKA, but my DKA alarm didn't say change your set, right? Like there's going to be a lot to work out here.
So I would like all people in Detroit that come to our clinic, I'd like their alarm to have a picture of me saying, I told you so, change.
I told you so, right, exactly.
Please change that infusion set. Because I don't know how many times I'll say, look, your blood sugar has been 300 for 4 or 5 hours. Please, please, please. Well, I just change it again.
Right.
So in Mahjong, you can get custom jokers. And you could have your pictures put on it, whatever you want it to say. I want our pumps to have a picture of me with saying, change your infusion set.
Right. I love it. I love that. Right. Yeah. Yep. Wow. This is a lot, you guys. This is exciting. This is a lot. This is a culmination of years of work on their part to say, okay, now what? Right. What are we missing? And to me, ketones are a big part of it.
And I think we learned a lot from continuous glucose monitoring because it'll follow a similar pattern. I think just even the rollout, you know, some are going to say, oh, you know, that's going to be too much information for the person. No, not put in the right context. Oh, well, you know, do you remember when sensors used to report that you were going to go low, you know, and clinicians were like, oh, they're going to panic. It's like, no, we're going to use that same concept. We're going to open our mind for the new ketone learning that we have, to DaVita's point. This is okay. New data. What do we think? And on the individual, we're going to take things we thought we knew about ketones and reinvent it. And it's going to pave the way. I loved how DaVita talked about the secondary benefits, the foundation for GLP-1s and SGLT-2s for type 1, because we want to address their heart. You know, that's a good point, DaVita, about the fact that even though the pump's not going to automatically mitigate, it could still manage it through the input it's getting, through the wearer, through manually thinking, okay, it gave a bolus, it's been this, you know, yeah.
Well, also the idea that you open up your app, whether it's on your phone or your durable pump, whatever it is, that says, okay, you're 189, but your ketones are climbing. Wouldn't we as clinicians say, okay, now what? What's the next step? Because it's going to be a different step than it was in the past when we didn't know what ketone, 189, treat the number, right? Treat the number or go for a run.
Or some people saying it's okay. It's not that hot.
Right.
It's not that high. It's okay. 189, yeah, it's close to time and target. But if your ketones are 2, you might say, ooh, maybe I do need a little bit
off. Maybe, right, exactly, right? Okay, am I sure I took my bolus? Am I sure I did whatever? And it's going to help that. Will it help, you know, just go backwards and go, okay, where am I? Where do I want to be? And can I stave this off? Right. I mean, ultimately, what we want to do is treat ketones between that 0.6 and 3.0 and get them to reverse and never get to 3. Right. Never get to, okay, now what? Right. But like the idea that we have a teaching of, you know, okay, if you get to whatever your number is, and pregnant women will be certainly lower than people that are not pregnant, for example, you change your pod or your set immediately. This is what we do for you because you're at higher risk because of whatever. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to have so many great case studies to talk about once we get this on a handful of people to talk of, this is what I did and this worked or didn't work even, right? So that we can all help each other.
You know, some people are going to be going around at 0.8 all the time.
All the time, right.
So we have to leave room for that too, to that, you know, nobody panic. Here's what we're going to do with the data. Let's learn from it. These are the levels that you need to take action for sure. These are the early actions. These are the action and follow. And these are the seek help. because there's still all those different states.
Can you talk a little bit about that 0.8, either one of you or both of you? 0.8 all the time. Yeah. Why would anyone be 0.8 all the time?
So, Devita kind of alluded to it when she was talking about Jen Shear's data, looking at this pump suspension. We always think it's concordant. You know, they both follow each other, but there's definitely some discordance. There's different scenarios that we're going to learn. Understand nutritional ketosis. You just mentioned it, Natalie. We get up in the morning. We don't eat any breakfast. We get too busy. And the next thing you know, nutritional ketosis can easily go to 0.6. It can easily display. And so we're going to understand that just because it displays, you have to ask yourself, okay, did I change a set? Did I forget a shot? You know, we don't want you to linger there. We just want you to wonder. And then some people, we've all heard it before, are on lower carbohydrate ketogenic diets. And so we have to understand, remember that little line, you know, for type ones, those on a ketogenic diet could facilitate DKA. So it's going to be through that. Are you getting sick and you don't know it? But there are individuals that were in Jen Shear's pump study, that some who never went into ketosis after hours, and some who did it in like 4 hours. And so that's the wow, aha moment, because it is still an individual ketone response.
So, and also, we're not going to leave you out in the cold. You're used to time and range with blood glucoses. There will be a little chart just like that, 0, 0.6, 1.5, greater than 3. And so you'll get the levels, and it's normal, a little bit elevated, kind of not too elevated, and then really of concern. And it'll be labeled so that you can get to know that. And what I'm hoping is between now and launch, because you know, just because it's approved, we're not going to have it in our hands tomorrow. It probably won't be till the end of the year, that we all take time to look at the guidance of what is 0 to 0.6 mean? What does 0.8 mean? What does 1.5 mean? And then what are the instructions we're going to give to those people with diabetes? And actually, we need to first give it to the clinicians, because if the clinicians are not comfortable, they're not going to prescribe it, and it won't get into the hands of people with diabetes. And look how long it took us to say, you know, if you're not comfortable, just give it to people with diabetes, because they'll learn what to do. But we really want the clinicians to learn before it's marketed at the end of the year. And the data's there for you to learn, the charting's there, and the charts that I'm talking about, the educational ones, it does give direction as to, you know, when to change the site, when to take extra insulin, when is it nutritional, when do we have to worry about it. And then again, you're going to adapt that to the person sitting in front of you for those individuals that tend to have more ketones, or depending on the, you know, their nutrition. So, you know, we all are going to be learning all of this together, but there are graphs and there are charts and there are directions for the clinician to help you come up with a plan of action for each of your patients.
I love this. I also can think about my nurses, my triage nurses are going to have to be taught, right? Because what they'll do in the beginning is just send every ketosis to us, and we need to teach them how. Okay, right. What does this mean? How do we do it? What is going to be our counsel as a practice so that it's consistent throughout our system, so that people are not, you know, overloaded with calls? And I think we can do that before the launch. We don't have to wait until we start creating a problem. We can actually, now we have time and cushion to address this, create this, and teach it to the people that really need to know.
Absolutely. And that's my point, is let's take this time out and launch, because let's get everybody excited about it. Let's get people to understand what it is and how to access it. And when you have it in your hands, what's the best practices to get the best bang for the person with diabetes?
I love it. This has been such a good discussion. I'm so glad. We're so grateful we got you on such short notice. So I really want to thank our guests, Eden and Devita. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all for tuning in. Very exciting. We can't wait. More to come soon. But that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.
Thanks, everyone. On a side note, please watch their podcast, The Sugar Queens, through Medscape Live.
Yes.
Thank you.